Well, about 30 years ago, I was living in Kansas, and it was a very small town out in the Midwest there. There was only roughly 100 people in the whole town. And what I really enjoyed about it was that it was right, no matter where you lived in the town, you were on the edge of the fields where all the farmers' crops would grow. You'd see the corn come up. You'd see the cows grazing right at your backyard. And I really enjoyed that. And I also had a garden and a large yard. And it was really enjoyable just to plant the seeds and to watch those crops come up and then to have the backdrop of a field of corn or the cows grazing. It was just wonderful to see that grow. And many of you over the years have planted gardens. You've taken the time to plant the seeds and to watch what happens after that based on God's blessings of giving us the seeds and so forth. And it's enjoyable to be able to plant those and then watch them grow to even enjoy the harvest of what you planted, whether it be a fruit tree or a garden. And brethren, I just thought about some of the scriptures because they reveal that our lives parallel this process of planting and of harvesting. There's lessons we can learn from all of these things as we look at what God has set in this world that we live in. And as I watched in those years in Kansas, some of the farmers didn't do as well as others. Some of them planted too late, and others didn't water their crops as much as some, and then that affected their crops. And if you think about our physical lives, many times if we don't follow the proper process, and we can make decisions that will cause us to reap poorly as well. So we have to consider that as Christians, how we're living. If we tie that in with right today, like at the end of the day, if we haven't prayed, if we haven't studied, if we, in a sense, haven't sowed that seed, then we aren't really planting in a way that'll bring forth growth and development. And at the end of a week, if we're not prepared to keep the Sabbath holy, not only just getting ready for it in a sense, but even mentally and spiritually to be prepared for it, we haven't planted the right seeds there. We could look at a yearly basis if we didn't save our second tithe. And it comes to the time when those special festivals that God has lined out in the Bible for us to keep, and we don't have that financial means to be able to keep them in a manner that He wanted us to, then we can't even keep them properly because we weren't willing to follow some principles of planting and sowing. And so this principle of reaping and sowing is visible as we practice each of God's laws. We can apply that in our lives. And as we make our daily choices, we are determining the type of future that we will have. Let's begin today in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. And what we realize here is God is setting before us a huge decision. He's offered this to all of mankind, and at this time, our minds have been open to that. But as we go about our daily routine, many times we don't stop to think about how that will affect us down the road. You know, it's easy as humans to do something and not consider the consequences. So let's notice here in Deuteronomy 30, in verse 19, what God wanted all of us to hear. He says, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." I mean, this should take everybody's attention as they read this, but much of the world doesn't even read the Bible. They aren't reminded of this. Verse 20 goes on to say, "That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." And He also wants to give to us today. And as we make good choices, it provides great blessings. And this isn't just a request by God, it's really a command. He's saying, choose life. You know, make something of your life. And we need to think about that. In essence, God wants the best for all of His children, just as we want for our children. He wants us to have happy lives. He wants to bless us. And similar to the farmers, depending on the seeds we plant, depending on the choices we make, it produces either life or death. So it's very important for us to think about. I've entitled this sermon, "We Reap, what we sow. We reap what we sow. And that can be a little bit scary, can't it? Because when we stop to think about some of the choices we've made in our life, we go, wow, I wished I wouldn't have done that, or I'm really happy I took that step because of the outcome. And our daily decisions will eventually determine if we obtain eternal life. And yet we've all made poor decisions. You think about some of the thoughts that run through our heads, some of the words that come out of our mouth, and some of the actions that take place, not just weekly, but even daily. And even though we're striving to grow closer to God, we still fall short in many of those things. And yet God is saying we can improve, and we'll look at today some ways in which we can. But it's so important to be planting the right seeds, because we really want to produce a bountiful harvest. Just as a farmer, just as any of us that planted a garden, we want it to produce. I mean, why go through all that work and then not have a good crop? And so our loving Father here wants us to understand that we have the opportunity to choose our future. As we look at these scriptures, you know, he says, this is God Almighty saying to his children, I set this before you. Please make the right choices. And we can say that we want to be in the kingdom, but really our actions show whether we're preparing for that, whether we're getting ready. So today I would like to focus on the principle of sowing and reaping and be reminded that we must continue to strive to make the right choices every single day. Not just on the Sabbath, but whether we're at work, whether we're at home, whether we're in school, that we need to make those right choices. And the Bible is very clear about the importance of bearing fruit. And we have to consider the choices we make and the fruit we are producing based on that. Therefore, we know we need to examine ourselves. Each and every one of us, even the teenagers, even the little children, we all need to look at our lives from one angle or not, depending on our maturity, and ask ourselves the question, how well are we doing? Are we just plodding along in life? You know, if we're a child, you know, how am I respecting my parents? How well am I doing in school or with my chores? And it doesn't matter our age, we have to apply it to where we're at, because our ultimate goal is eternal life, and we have to ask, are we reaping the results of that? And yet we know we won't if we don't sow the proper seeds. Our daily decisions will determine whether we're included in God's spiritual harvest. So when we think about that aspect, it's so important, the choices that we make when we get up every day and what we do. And when we consider that we are first fruits, that does indicate there will be a latter harvest, a great harvest that is coming. But for now, it's just a few that God is working with. And yet we know everyone will have a chance to learn of this way, to have their minds open to the truth, to be able to walk and make decisions that lead to eternal life. And yet we're being prepared now so that we can not only get ready, but we can help others that God will call down the road. So what a privilege that is, to have the opportunity to literally encourage and love and help others to choose what we've already chosen to do now. Brethren, all of us have read statements in the Bible and said to ourselves, how true. Statements like, if you want to enter into life, keep my commandments. We go, wow, that really says a lot, and we understand that. But at times, isn't it easy to ignore those same laws as if, oh, they don't apply to me, or that just applies to you or you. You know, we can look at it that way. We may not say it that way, but that's really what it's coming down to. This would include those commandments that we neglect. And haven't we all neglected certain laws of God, like whether we are young children or young adults or later in life, we can ignore some. Or we can even say, well, I'll put that off till later. I'll get around that when I have a little more energy, a little more time. And it's easy to start thinking that some habits really don't matter, especially if we're not reminded them right away. If we're not caught in the sin, we can think that's not a big deal. Or if we're not punished for our sins, we can think, well, that doesn't really matter. Well, let's turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Galatians 6 and verse 7. And the reason we need to look at this scripture closely is because the one who will judge us is reminding us that there's an important principle here that we can overlook. and we need to consider it every single day. Galatians 6 and verse 7, do not be deceived. The very fact that God would inspire that to be written means a lot of us, as God calls people, we know the whole world is deceived, but if we look at us as Christians, that it's easy to deceive ourselves, thinking this doesn't apply to us. But it says, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Those are the words of God. So we really have to stop and think that we cannot get around that principle. It's there. It's just like when you throw something up, you know it's going to come down. That principle is set. But do we stop and think about this? Because it's common for not only the world, but for us as members of the church, no matter how many years we've been in, to deceive ourselves and to overlook certain things that we think, well, I made that choice, but that doesn't really matter. But God is telling us it does. In fact, God commands us to live a certain way, but many times we try other ways. You know, in the sense that we can go around that law, or that doesn't apply to me. For someone that had a problem maybe with cursing, I go, well, I've put that aside somewhat, but they use euphemisms and take a shortcut there instead of just putting all of that out of their life. They'll do a better sounding form of taking God's name in vain. Or they might say, well, I'll forgive someone, but I'm not going to forgive those that don't ask for my forgiveness. And so there's all these levels that we need to think about, that what we sow, we will reap. And it applies to every single one of God's laws. The world promotes that we should do what we want, right? We hear statements like, if it feels right, do it. Or if you want it, buy it. You know, not really stopping to think about the consequences. And society, when they push those principles, they really don't mention the stress that we might feel after we purchase something. So we need to consider that. When we ignore the principle of reaping and sowing, we really find out the hard way how true that principle is. Because nobody will slip into God's kingdom, not one single person. There's no way around this law. It will affect each and every one of us. Let me read a paragraph here from United Church of God Bible study course. It's from lesson 4, page 4. It says this regarding the principle of sowing and reaping and making choices. It says, the biblical record shows that God rarely interferes with man's free ability to make choices. In general, God's purpose is best served by his giving us freedom of choice, letting matters take their own course, even if our hasty and wrong-headed decisions sometimes bring on us enormous sufferings. Otherwise, we would not learn the importance of righteous character, nor would we fully grasp the terrible consequences of sinful behavior. So as we look at our lives and we see the choices we've made, the decisions over the decades of life, if we've lived that long, we realize that we've brought a lot of suffering to ourselves. And it's easy to blame someone else or something else for that suffering, but a lot of it has to do with our choices, our wrong choices. So let's turn next to John chapter 15. As we look at this topic a little more, John chapter 15 and verse 1. We all need to stop and consider whether we're following all of the guidelines that God gives us. Guidelines such as his laws, his commandments, his precepts, and so forth. We have here the words of Jesus Christ, John 15, verse 1. We'll read a few of these here in this chapter. John 15, verse 1, Christ says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So this is a tremendous principle that we don't always stop and apply in our lives, but it should make us reflect on it, because as a branch connected to Jesus Christ, he is expecting us to produce. He's giving us the nourishment to grow, and it's up to us. So we have to ask, as members of the body of Christ, are we productive? Are we growing? Are we being nourished? And the trials we go through are a type of pruning that allows us to grow even more. I know we don't like that, but actually our trials are an opportunity to trust God and to use His strength to move forward. Whereas if we didn't have those trials, we might not push forward as we would have. Let's look at verse 4. Christ says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Notice the importance of that word, abide, meaning to dwell. That word, you know, like to dwell with God. It means to endure with Him. That's what He's asking us to do, to stay connected and not cut ourselves off. Because that's the only way we will be nourished, the only way we'll learn to plant the right seeds. And unless we have a close relationship with God, it's impossible to bear the type of fruit that He requires. Let's notice as we read a few more verses here, how many times this word abide is used. Verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Brethren, this is telling us that if we aren't growing spiritually, then we really aren't close enough to God. It's His strength, it's His help that allows us to do that. And therefore, we need His direction. And so we could ask ourselves, how much fruit have we brought forth this year? You know, in a spiritual way, that God is asking us to do that. And our lives should be structured so that we never give ourselves a chance to forget God's way. We want to have it right there in our face all the time, to be thinking about it and living by it. Because if we let down with God and our relationship, we tend to wander. And if we wander long enough, we'll get lost. And we don't even know if we'll find our way back. So we can't afford to go down that road. Verse 6, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." We know as we look at this and read this, that if we are cut off from God, the end of that, the end result is not good. And so He admonishes us to continue to stay connected. Verse 7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." So God is planting, we could say, the precious seeds of His word in us. He's asking us and giving us an opportunity to grow and to mature. Verse 8, "By this my Father is glorified." So all those items we just read, Jesus Christ is reminding us, this gives glory to God, that you bear much fruit. So think about that principle. Not just bearing fruit, but much. That's what God is asking us to do. "So you will be my disciples." So it's vital that we stay connected, that we think about the application of these scriptures. It's critical, therefore, that we inspect every area of our lives to see if it brings glory to God, shows Him honor. I'll just refer to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31. It says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." So this is tying in with what Christ said here, that we need to consider whether the daily decisions that we make are in line with God's plan and whether we're bringing Him glory. And so everything we do needs to be done well. Like we heard in the sermonette, it's important that we have that drive, that we push forward. And so every aspect of our lives, whether you're in a job, you have to do it well. Whether you're going to school, the same applies. Whether you're parenting, you need to put your whole heart into it. That's what God is asking us to do because it brings Him glory. And what we read, what we talk about, what we listen to has to be considered, those choices, so that brings God the glory. Let's look at verse 9. "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." So He's telling us to continue in this, to dwell with Him. Verse 10, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." So here's the answer, is that if we obey God's laws, then we will abide with Him. That's what He's asking us to do. And that allows us to bear the fruit, much fruit, that God is asking of us to develop. And so He's connecting the dots for us. that we have to live by every one of those laws, not just picking and choosing, well, I like this one, and this one over here is pretty easy, so I'll follow that. No, every single law, even the ones that we have difficulty with, or maybe I should say especially those ones. We have to study the words of God, looking for ways to improve, to grow up. Why? Because it brings glory to God. I mean, if we picture our children and then think, now we're the children of God, He's asking us to be respectful of our parent, our spiritual parent, to follow his daily commands, like in his house, just like we would as we grew up, and to show that respect and to grow and mature. Jesus Christ made a statement in Matthew 15:13, which applies to reaping. I'll just refer to this. He said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted." So we have to be careful that we are connected to the vine so that we are nourished, so that we will not be uprooted one day. Because some people will choose this path. And if we aren't careful, we could lose out on our very purpose for life. God is asking us to produce and to be pleasing to Him in that way. It's vital for us to inspect our lives and to see where we have strayed in certain laws or commands that God gives us. And yet we are creatures of habit, so it's not an easy thing to do. If you think about your own personal habits that really aren't truly in line with God, He's asking us to reflect on that, because it's so much easier for us to look at others. I mean, their sins, their weaknesses just pop out at us so fast, but God is asking us to not focus on that, because we can't change them. God is asking us to work out our own salvation. We don't know how much longer we'll be alive. We don't have any clue, do we? You might even be young, but in a year from now, we don't know what God has in mind or what accidents, what diseases come about. The point is that we better redeem the time, that we need to reflect, that use the time we have properly and not think, well, I'll do that in another year or another decade. If it's important, we should be following it now. Look at verse 16 here, still in John 15. Verse 16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." Isn't that interesting? He's saying, we didn't decide that we needed God in our lives. He's the one that calls us. He's the one that knows the best time for each of us to have our minds open to his truth. And then we choose whether to follow. But it's his original idea of when to put out the invitation. And God has a purpose for bringing us into his body. And none of us figured the truth out on our own. God has to reveal that. So our Father sees our potential to bear fruit at this time. He knows that we can produce if we put our hearts into it, if we surrender to him. So it's vital that we need to daily walk in those ways. And the fruit that we should bear is really God's qualities, his characteristics. He's saying, become like me. I'm perfect, and I want you to follow my Son, who represents the Father, and to start growing in those qualities. And as we do that, he's saying it's literally preparing us to join the family of God, to look forward to such an amazing future. But it all starts out with our thought process, doesn't it? You know, there's the statements that made regarding sowing and reaping, and one is that you sow a thought and you reap an action. And so really, as we think about things, those thoughts, they do lead to actions. As a man thinks, so is he. And then those actions can become habits if we continue to practice them. And those habits really start to develop our character, and that character leads to our destiny, our future, based on the choices we make. So God is asking us to really stop and think about our thoughts, that beginning process, and how we live each day so that we're not building the wrong habits, but the right ones. And it all has to do with God's power working in us, helping us to make the right decisions so that we can overcome our weaknesses. Because if we don't allow God to build his holy, righteous character in us, then we cannot become a part of his family. It really has to do with surrendering and allowing God to work in us fully. And so God's plan is marvelous because he's involved in every aspect. Think about it. He's put an invitation out to each one of us. He's invited us to be here. And then he's planting seed through his word. And he's putting that in us and allowing it to grow and mature. Are we allowing it to bear fruit, to develop, to set a good example for those around us? You know, Paul made a statement regarding this. He says, "For it is God who is producing in you both the desire and the ability to do what pleases him." Isn't that amazing what God does behind the scenes? It is God who is producing in you both the desire and the ability to do what pleases him. And that's in Philippians 2, verse 13. And I read that from the International Standard Version. But it's amazing that God is willing to do so much in us, if only we would let him, because really we hold God back from much of what he wants to do. Just as a rebellious child, when we tell them to do something, they hold the parent back from guiding them and leading them and helping them to better grow. And one reason we mess up so often is because we don't allow God's Spirit to lead us as we should. But yet God desires to give us a full measure of that Spirit, to place his power, his essence in us to do the work through us that he desires to do. And it's that Spirit that allows us to grow and become more like him. So we really need to stop and think about, do we allow God to work as he desires? Let's go back to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 55 and verse 9. Because there are times when we avoid using God's help, and then we realize later, look at the troubles I brought on myself. So here we have an analogy that ties in with bearing fruit. Isaiah 59, verse 9. It says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth," God says, "so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So as children, we really need to have his help to put the right thoughts into our mind. Verse 10, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Now notice the connection he begins to put together here. Verse 11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void." So just as God allows that water to come down, you know, it has this cycle, but he doesn't want it to come back empty. He wants it to allow the plants to be nourished and to grow. And in the same way, he says, "It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So God has given us his word. He's planted this seed in us, but we have to be willing to let it develop and grow in us. As we hear the words in the Bible, it should motivate us to produce, to grow, to mature, all those words that describe an increasing in God's way, because once again, that effort brings glory to our great God. Therefore, whatever point in life you are at, we could say now is the time for us to sow proper seeds so that we can be counted worthy to escape things that are coming, so that we can be counted worthy even to have eternal life, because we don't deserve it. We're all deserving of death, but God has worked out a great plan. And one day, our planting season will be over. There won't be any more time to plant. And we should stop and think about that, because like the farmers who waited too long, then they lost out on that harvest. And we could lose out on eternal life if God's word goes back to him empty and it doesn't produce anything. Let's go back to the New Testament, to Luke chapter 8. Luke 8 and verse 5. Here we see the parable of the sower. And as Jesus describes this, he illustrates different responses of individuals as they hear the truth. And we know where we stand in this. We should be responding greatly to this. But as the gospel goes out to the world, there's four different ways that people respond. And we'll read those here. You know, some of the seed is by the wayside. And those seem to be the response of those who aren't even being called yet, because they don't really even grasp what's happening. Because the truth falls on their ears, but they don't comprehend its significance. And yet we've been called, so we should. And the other three responses are those who do understand. And we know we can respond in various ways and for different reasons. And so let's view this parable in a slightly different way. That these different outcomes can also parallel the results of our many choices in life. That we can respond in this way. Put yourself in the place of the sower and consider whether some of the seeds we've sown have reaped similar results. So verse 5 of Luke chapter 8. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Brethren, are we careless with some of the daily seeds that we put out there? You know, we throw them out because some of our choices don't produce anything worthwhile. For instance, if we spend time gossiping, that doesn't really bring back any good. That doesn't bear fruit. If we're judging someone or not willing to forgive someone, we have to think about that. Therefore, we need to act before we think so that we aren't just sowing to the flesh, as the scriptures tell us. Because so many choices in life come down to doing right or wrong, and it's easy to do the things that are more fun, let's say. You know, it's easier to surf the internet than it is to study the Bible. Many times it's easier to watch sports than to pray. We could just make all these comparisons, but I think you know what I mean. Because when we think about how we treat people, that, you know, that's something to consider, but then are we willing to think about a vacation and to concentrate on that more than showing somebody respect or working with them in a proper way? And yet when we start to look at these different items, and I'm not mentioning things that are wrong to do, but it's the balance of it, how we put it into place in our daily lives. Because God will never say, were you sure that you watched that football game? You know, and he'll require that of us. No, it's not as important as the daily study that we should have put into our life. And many of our daily decisions don't reap anything of value. So we can ask ourselves, what characteristic of God am I building when I make this particular choice? And we can apply that to almost everything we do throughout the day. Because we have to remember that God created us to bear fruit. And we have to be careful that the end result of what we sow is not unproductive. Continuing in verse 6, it says, Some of these seeds fell on rock. And as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. You know, I think about this. At times in our life, we get excited about things. Let's say in a church group here that we can be excited about serving one another, excited about the time to fellowship or to visit. And we kind of see that seed spring up. But if we're not careful, those items can die out pretty quickly. Just as it says here, this seed lacked moisture, and it withered away. So we have to be careful that we don't push forward real quick and then let down after a while. Because if we start out strong and then lose interest, we're not going to end up bearing the fruit that God desires. Verse 7, and some, talking about the seed here again, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Now when I think about the weeds in a garden, you know, for all of you that have had a garden, and you think about how you want to, in a sense, baby those plants. You water it and you weed it, but those weeds grow like wildfire. It just seems like they just take off. And they seem to take the nourishment that is meant for the vegetables or whatever you're growing. And so we need to be on guard, because many of the activities that fill up our days leave no time for God. They, in a sense, choke out those items of necessity that God is saying, these are requirements for you to grow and develop. Our lives can be filled to the brim with things to do, but we have to consider, what will that reap? You know, my choices, how will that come about if I continue to live that way? Many of the things are done that I'm talking about are okay if they're done in balance, but if we're not careful, they can distract us, and we really won't bear the fruit that Jesus Christ asked us to bear. Haven't we all made choices that didn't produce much fruit? And yet God says, don't focus on that. Now move forward, change that. We don't have to continue living our lives that way. With God's help, we can make the difference, make the changes. And in verse 8, it says, but others fell on good ground. So this is where God is asking all of us to move to in every thought, every action. Other seed fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. This is the type of life God is asking us to live. Because if we're not careful, many of our decisions won't reap the outcome that we're hoping for. And we're invited to walk this way, to live this way, and to really be blessed when God says, I will bless you if you live a certain way. Let's skip down to verse 15. And Christ continues to, here he explains this parable, and we'll just pick up on one point in verse 15. He says, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So this would apply to all of us here, that God is asking for this word, his words, to fall on a heart that is willing to take it in and apply it in our lives and to have something good come out of it, to bear that good fruit. And so these individuals, which should be us, is taking God's words seriously. Like we're saying, God, your words are to be honored and respected, and we want to bring you glory. For them, following God is not a one-time decision, but it's a continual process of surrendering so that we allow God to continue to work in our lives. Brethren, we shouldn't focus on all the poor decisions that we've made in the past. Why? Because God tells us, he says, don't think on that. Let that go and now move forward. And as Philippians 4:8 tells us, think on good things, things that are pure, things that are lovely, items that are of a good report, things that are noble, things that are just. This is what God wants us to focus on. And so we can learn from those mistakes, but not continue to dwell on them in the sense that it pulls us down. Therefore, now is the time for us to make better decisions. We can't worry about what we did last year, because God doesn't want us to remain as we are. If we have a lifestyle that's a little off the path, he's saying, get back on the path. Walk this way. Endure to the end so that you can be a part of his kingdom, so that we can reap that. So in the remaining time, I would like to just cover 3 points. There's so many points out there, but just 3 quick points that will help us regarding the sowing and reaping principle. The first point is God provides the increase. He does the work, really. We just have to be willing to follow along. We should recognize that of ourselves, we can do nothing. Nothing. And yet in Philippians 4, it tells us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So when we're not able to do those things, we have to realize we're not allowing God to do his work in us. And so once again, God provides the increase. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. And I think the good news is, brethren, the good we do will eventually be rewarded by God. We just have to be patient and wait on that. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. It starts out with, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. It goes on to say, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. All the credit always goes back to God. And here the Corinthian congregation was looking to men instead of God. Like, oh, look at this man. He's really great. He's better than this one. No, God says that the credit should go back to him. We need to put our focus on that. Verse 7, so then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. So if we get that focus in our minds, then we'll do so much better, because it always needs to be reflecting back to God. Only with his help can we bear the spiritual fruit that will provide the harvest that we're all looking forward to. And once our minds have been opened to God's truth, it requires his guidance to develop his qualities Those aren't qualities we naturally develop on our own. As our master potter, we can think of ourselves as just a piece of clay in his hands. And when we surrender, when we stay connected to the vine, we're allowing God to mold us, to shape us, to really fashion us in his image. Now, we're already told we're in his likeness, but that's on the outside. And so our process here as Christians is for God to be working us on the inside, to have a heart like God the Father and Jesus Christ. Verse 8, now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So we don't really expect to gather from someone else's planting, do we? No, we have to do it off of our own labor. We're told to work out our own salvation. Therefore, if we don't put forth the effort, if we don't plant the proper seeds, then God cannot bring forth the crop, the harvest from our life that he would desire to. Verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers. Do we feel that like that on a daily basis? That we're literally working with God, allowing him to work in us. And then it says, you are God's field. So if you think of a farmer and he goes, that's my field. That's how God looks at us. And he's saying, I'm wanting to plant something. I want something to be produced from my field. He's asking us to be willing to do that. And then he says, you are God's building. And so he owns us. And he says, I want to dwell in you. I want to work with you. I want to work on you. And I want you to bear this fruit. You know, in the parable of the sower, Christ told us that the seed is the word of God, and that's what he's planting in us, those in his field. And he's wanting that to bring forth something. And he expects us to produce. Our daily choices determine whether God's character is being developed. So we have to stop and reflect, you know, what do we do on a daily basis? Is it lining up with God's plan? Is it preparing us for the kingdom? Let's turn forward now to 2 Corinthians, the next book forward, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. You know, at times when we sow something, we see that we reap more than we expected, and that can be true both physically and spiritually. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And so this law operates both negatively and positively. We have a choice of whether we want to have the bounty of, you know, really sparingly or a lot. And so verse 7 says, let each one give as he has purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now let's skip down to verse 10. Now, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. This is what God desires to do in each one of us. And if you think about it, farmers would go out of business if they reaped exactly what they sowed. You know, if they buy that amount of grain, put it in the ground, spread it all out, bury it, if that's all they got back, they go, I had to buy that, and that's all I got back. The same thing. No, God increases that. And so as this point is reiterating, God gives the increase. And we see that both physically and spiritually. And so they plant a single seed and harvest a wealth of grain. You know, those seeds produce trees and vegetables and fruits. And it's amazing how God works that principle. But that farmer always reaps more than he sowed if he's done it properly. And God is saying he can do the same thing in us if we align ourselves with him. You know, in Matthew 19, verse 29, I'll just refer to this. Matthew 19, 29, Christ said this, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake shall receive many times as much. So he's saying if you're willing to do your part and come out of the world and leave behind all those things, they can't be more dear to you than my way and his laws. He says, you'll receive so much more and shall inherit eternal life. That's his promise. And so this sowing and reaping principle applies to each one of us on a daily basis. Let's look at a second point. Point number two, to bear good fruit requires God's Spirit. It requires His Spirit. So God's Spirit allows us to produce not only good fruit, but much fruit. Because if you plant something and you have a fruit tree and you only get a few, let's say it's a pear tree, and you just get one little bushel of pears off that tree, you're going, that's not much. And God's saying He wants us to produce a lot so that He can, it shows that we're working with Him, allowing Him to do a great work in us, I should say. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 and verse 16. So once again, this point, to bear good fruit requires God's Spirit. We really need His help in everything we do. Galatians 5, verse 16, Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. How many times in our life do we look at that and say, how true that is? Why am I doing something? I don't even want to do it. I know it's wrong. Why do I keep going back to that? And God explains it here. He's saying that's how we naturally are. We need His help and strength to overcome those areas that we're weak in. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then He lists the work of the flesh. And so all these items apply to all of us. Some of us are strong in some of these areas, and some of us are weak, but all of us have things that we need to work on. And so we could read all those, but, you know, idolatry and sorcery and hatred, and we could go through the whole list, but we need to stop and think, in what ways should we be drawing closer to God so we can overcome whatever the sin is or sins that we have that He needs us to put away so we can be in His kingdom? Because in verse 21, it continues with envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we see that God, in His love, wants to give us a kingdom, but He's asking us to put behind those things that can't be allowed in the kingdom. Because if we hold on to Him, He says, no, you can't come in with that. And we all want to be there. That's why in verse 22, and under this point, to bear good fruit, we need God's Spirit. Notice what it says in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. These are the things we need to bear in our life. And yet, this is the fruit of the Spirit. So we need God to dwell in us so that these things will come forth. And God is willing to walk with us. He's willing to help us every step of the way. And yet at times we can hold Him back. Let me read in our Bible reading program what it says about Genesis 46 and 7. It's talking about the life of Jacob. And we know that he did a lot of good things later in life, but at the beginning of his life, he messed up, and we can learn from that. Let me read a few sentences here. It says, Jacob's life should be a lesson to us about reaping what we sow. His life has been a long and painful struggle of reaping the seeds of corruption sown in his youth. His own sons had deceived him about what had happened to Joseph, using the same items with which he himself had deceived his father Isaac to receive the birthright, a slain goat and a special coat. So it's like it came back around. He planted these seeds and it just came back to him. It goes on to say, still, it was a long and difficult road in getting there. It didn't have to be if Jacob had not sown the corrupt seed he did in earlier years. This lesson is written for our learning. If we've been sowing bad seed, the answer is to stop now. And that's what we have to do. Asking for God's forgiveness and to start, with His help, sowing good seed to reap a better tomorrow. So, brethren, you think about it, the choice is ours. That's what we can do. Just like Joseph or Jacob or Abraham, they all made mistakes in their life, but they were willing to turn around and live by God's laws. If I continue reading a little bit more from the Bible reading program, it says, "Beware, reaping what you sow is a very real spiritual principle. And just as God did not completely remove the bitterness of the crop Jacob was to reap, so God will not completely remove the bitterness of the crop you sow." We have to think about that. The spiritual effects of your bad actions may be forgiven, but in the flesh there will still be consequences. Just as God allowed Jacob to reap hardship and to live a bitter life in order to help purge his character, so God will do with you in many respects. God is not mocked. Sow good seed and reap the same. Sow bad seed and reap the same as well. So it's really up to us. It goes back to where we started today with Deuteronomy 30. God says, choose life. I want to give you blessings. I don't want to curse you. And if you continue to live certain ways, it can bring those curses upon us. You know, if we look in the very next chapter here in Galatians 6 and verse 8, Galatians 6 and verse 8, we'll read a couple verses here. It says, "For he who sows to his own flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Isn't that what we all desire? Isn't that our purpose? And we've been reminded of that. We've been called to that. And the way we work towards that, verse 9, "And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." And brethren, we can look at the past and recognize that many have lost heart. They're no longer here with us. I hope and pray they'll come back. But the key is for us to continue to be strong and to not lose heart, to continue to fight the fight, run the race, to endure to the end. Verse 10, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." And I think one of the reasons it mentions that is because if we can't do well, do good to those that are the children of God, that have been called out, that we worship together, we get to know, then how are we really going to help the rest of the world that we don't know as well? They don't believe as we do. God is saying that we really need to build a special relationship between all of us first, and then we can do a better job in serving others and in preparing to help others down the road. Are we allowing God's Spirit to lead us so we do produce that good fruit? It's so very important. Let's look at the last point. We'll just cover this briefly. Point number 3 is be patient for the harvest. We all know that we reap in a different season than when we sowed. For instance, for those of you that have raised children, you put a lot of time of effort into those little ones, telling them things over and over, like, don't do that, do this, say thank you. You know, don't put your dirty hands all over the walls. We tell them all these things for years, and then the results come a lot later. Sometimes even after they leave home and after college, they kind of grow up and they go, well, now you're learning the lesson, sometimes when they start to teach their own children. But the harvest comes much later many times, and we have to be patient for that. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11. "And so when a farmer goes out and puts his seed in the ground, he doesn't plan to partake of that harvest the same week. He knows it takes some time for all that to come about. There's a period of growth. And I remember when I planted that garden in Kansas many years ago, my daughter was like 2 years old when we were putting the seeds in the ground. She was helping me. But the very next day, she was out there all hunched down, just looking at the ground like, where's the greenery? When's it going to come up? And so she was anxious for it. But like God says, the principle, we want it to come soon, but we have to be patient for that harvest. Let's read a few verses here, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. I'm in verse chapter 9. Let me go back to verse 8. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11. "Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. See, not everything comes about right away. We have to realize that. Verse 12, though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before him. But it will not be well with the wicked, nor will he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he does not fear before God. And so we can sometimes feel like we're getting away with something just because we're not punished right away. And we have to realize that we have to start changing. And just because we start doing good doesn't mean that we're going to be blessed right away. Sometimes that takes a while too. So it takes time from the planting of the seed until the harvest, and the same is true in our spiritual life, that we have to wait for the promises that God is offering us. Sometimes we, because of delayed correction, it's easy to continue in our old ways, just as it speaks of here. But we do reap in proportion to what we sow, and God is the one who gives the increase, as the previous point said. You know, in Hebrews 6, verse 15, I'll refer to it, and it says, and so after Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So he had to be patient for all that God said would happen. He was willing to wait, and it was beyond his physical life that he would receive that promise when he's resurrected. And so we have to let go of those things that are not right before God, things that we maybe have held on to so much of our life, but God is saying, let go of that and grow and believe that that kingdom, that promise is coming. Be patient, but continue to live a proper life. Let's conclude in 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. Brethren, we decide by the seed we sow whether we're going to be included in God's harvest. So that is critical that we stop and think about that. Notice what Peter wrote here and was inspired to write. And he gives us areas that we can think about and grow in. 2 Peter 1 verse 8. For if these things are yours and abound, and so he had mentioned all these items previous to this, about faith and virtue and self-control and perseverance. And so he goes, if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. And then he gives us an admonishment that we all need to pay attention to. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what we're asked here is to put on these qualities, to put with God's Spirit to use his help to build the characteristics of God, to allow that to be developed within us so that we are making our calling and election sure. And yet, as we look to various principles and parables in the Bible, we see that of the 10 virgins, half of them were foolish, weren't they? In fact, they were all foolish for a time. They all slumbered, but eventually half of them woke up. So we need to really stop and think about that they were unwise. They will be uprooted for all those that follow that principle. And we have other parables, the parable of the pounds. One of the three didn't develop their talent. So God is asking us to be spiritually awake. He's inviting us to grow and develop in ways that maybe we hadn't even thought of, which is why we need to continue to look into the Word of God to be reminded of things that we still haven't even been mature enough to understand in the past, that we're still growing into that. And God is saying now is the time to develop these things. While there's time, we must still be planting good seed. We must be making the right choices. That's what God is asking of each of us. And Christ's statement is absolutely true, that we do reap what we sow. And so we have to take time to examine our life, to really look closely to see where we stand before God, and to make those changes, to see if we're sowing properly, to see if we're bearing much fruit. That's what God requires of us. And then with God's help, we need to make the changes that are necessary so that we can reap eternal life. That's what God wants to offer us. And so he's saying, look at my laws, use my help, and change. You know, plant those seeds so that you can reap eternal life. So God is encouraging us to really stop and think about that and apply that in our daily lives and to improve year by year.